Here's your money briefing for Friday, July 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. This summer was supposed to be a sort of party for the airline industry, with people returning to the friendly skies after being grounded by 2 years of travel restrictions. Instead, passengers have endured the very unfriendly experience of waiting around in airports for hours because of flight delays.
So traditionally, the rule of thumb was to arrive around an hour or so early for a domestic flight and 2 to 3 hours early for an international flight. Throw that wisdom out the window.
The Wall Street Journal data and travel teams tracked flight delays and cancellations worldwide. We'll talk to WSJ travel reporter Jacob Passy about how early you should get to the airport and which airports are the best and worst after the break.
Not running your business on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cat pulled over your eyes. Over 29,000 businesses already use NetSuite. Head to netsuite.com/minute for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/minute.
It's summer vacation time, and the living is easy. That is, unless you're flying to your destination. Chances are you found yourself nervously checking the time because your flight's been delayed and you're wondering if you made the right call. Well, the Wall Street Journal has tallied up flight delays over the past 2 months that have impacted millions of passengers at hundreds of airports worldwide. Our travel reporter Jacob Passy is here to discuss where the pain points are and how you can modify your plans to deal with the delays. Hey, Jacob, thank you for being here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So, Jacob, flight delays aren't unusual, right? But it seems like it's all we hear about with regard to air travel this year. How bad has it gotten?
Yeah, it's gotten really bad. It's hard to underscore how bad it's gotten. Some data that the Wall Street Journal crunched from FlightAware, which is a flight data specialist, for most of the world's 100 busiest airports, they have had at least 20% of their flights delayed between June 1st and July 24th. That is 1 in 5 flights. So that is a significantly higher number of flights than we normally see delayed. So by delays, when we're looking at the FlightAware data, what we're talking about is the percentage of an airport's completed departures that arrived more than 15 minutes late at their destination.
Wow. So what's causing these delays?
Obviously, there's always going to be the perennial things like weather, issues at a specific airport that just come about naturally. Those sorts of things are still at play, obviously. But the biggest issue right now is staffing, both within the airlines and within the airports themselves. Staff levels are not where they're at to meet the demand that we're seeing. So we're not talking just about flight attendants and pilots. We're also talking about baggage handlers, TSA agents, folks manning the desks for checking folks in. Kind of at every stage of the flight process, staffing is not where it needs to be. And that just contributes to these delays piling up.
All right. So the Wall Street Journal ran the numbers from FlightAware's research on this, and this is not a situation where being number one is a good thing. But which U.S. airports are dealing with the most delays?
Yeah. So among U.S. airports, number one is Chicago Midway. So not O'Hare, but the other major hub in Chicago. It was around 38% of their flights out of that airport were delayed. And then we're also seeing major delays at JFK International Airport in New York City and BWI in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. But you're not going to escape these delays by going overseas or leaving the U.S. Number one airport in the world for flight delays is Toronto Pearson International Airport in Canada. A staggering 57% of flights out of that airport are delayed, so over half. Similarly, Montreal Trudeau International Airport, also in Canada, over half of the flights there are delayed. Situation is also bad over in Europe, Frankfurt, Charles de Gaulle in Paris, Munich, Amsterdam, Heathrow, you know, a number of airports in Europe are seeing delays in excess of 40% or higher.
But to be sure, there are some busy airports that haven't experienced widespread delays, right?
Definitely. Tokyo, for starters, their international airport has not seen these super high levels of delays. And in general, when you go to East Asia, some of those are the airports that have had better performance for on-time departures compared to the rest of the world.
So what are the airports and the airlines, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around here. What are they doing to alleviate this?
So for starters, since a lot of this has to do with staffing, they are definitely looking to boost their employee numbers. You're seeing a lot of hiring activity going on. But the airports are, and this is a dicey relationship, Heathrow, Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, Charles de Gaulle, they are putting caps on the number of departures per day. And in some cases are actually instructing the airlines not to sell any more seats and limiting the number of people traveling through those airports, having flights out of those airports. And the whole point of that is to reduce the delays, reduce the crowded lines at customs and passport control, because we've seen folks standing in lines for hours on end. And airlines are indeed, you know, in response to those caps and in general, just reducing the number of itineraries they're flying. They are making cuts, usually well in advance. So you'll have enough warning. And if you've booked a flight that's cut, they will reschedule you. But they are making cuts to their schedules to be able to handle the capacity a bit better.
Now, you can imagine how frustrating this can be for passengers. People who, for example, traveling with kids, have to get someplace for business or have to make a connection. How should they plan around these delays?
So traditionally, the rule of thumb was to arrive around an hour or so early for a domestic flight and 2 to 3 hours early for an international flight. Throw that wisdom out the window. It does not apply these days. For domestic flights, you may even need to arrive 3 hours early. Check with the airport you're flying out of. Most of them have been proactive in warning passengers about how early they need to get to the airport. And for international flights, it's even earlier, at least 4 hours. We are seeing very long lines for customs, for passport control. And so you want to make sure you build in enough time so that you're not missing the flight because you're stuck on one of those lines. When booking your tickets, have flexibility in mind. You don't want, especially if you're having a connecting flight, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're going to miss that flight if there's any sort of delay. So whereas in the past, maybe you could get away with a 30-minute or 1 hour layover, you want to build in more time for these sort of substantial delays that have been happening lately. Also, a good idea to, you know, inform gate agents, inform flight crew. If you have a connecting flight, especially if it's with that airline, they can make an effort to ensure that it is communicated to the next airport that you are arriving late. Have all of your information at hand if there are any sort of delays that cause you to miss connections or anything like that, so you can get the jump on rebooking things. The other piece of advice when you're booking is to book early in the day. So with these delays, they're not always spread out throughout the day. Delays tend to pile up the later into the day we go. So in the morning, there are fewer delays. In the evening and afternoons, there are more. So if you have a flight for the morning, first of all, you're giving yourself a better shot of actually departing on time. But on top of that, if there are any significant delays or if it turns into a cancellation, you're giving yourself the wiggle room throughout the rest of the day to perhaps get rebooked on another flight.
Ooh, that's a lot of planning. All right, Jacob, I understand you actually have some good news, especially for people traveling this fall.
Yes. So if you're traveling this fall, there is at last going to be some relief from those sky-high prices for airfares. So data from Hopper, which is a flight booking app, they found that the average cost of domestic airfare for September and October is only $298, so less than $300. And flights for international flights are also about 25% cheaper this fall than they were during the summer. So you are seeing deals once again as we get into what travel experts call the shoulder season, when kids are going back to school and there's a little bit less demand. And so if you haven't yet booked a getaway for this summer, maybe you want to wait until the fall and get one of these deals.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal travel reporter Jacob Passy. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.